You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
War has been old enough to drink for 4 years now, and to marry its cousin in one of the southern states for about 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're old.
Oh, good grief. My grays are showing. My grays are showing.
I can tell from here. Pull up your pants.
Oh, God. No, I don't want to be gray cross.
Oof. Wasn't that Jim Cornette's last gimmick?
Oh,
I'm Richard.
This is Gene.
And you are listening to Thumbtacks and Screwjobs, the wrestling podcast for the OneOfUs.net network. Thank you so much for tuning in. We always super appreciate it. Don't forget, there are plenty of ways that if you want to become part of the OneOfUs world, you can become a subscriber. You can listen to one of the multitude of podcasts in the network.
There's so many of them.
League of Ordinary Gentlemen, Inside the Locker Room, just endless ones. And if you're a subscriber, most of the podcasts are completely free and gratis, nothing costing you at all. Occasionally we'll make purchasing recommendations, particularly on Digital Noise, the DVD review show. Just go there. If you see a review, that you want to get, click on the link from there. It takes you to the Amazon page. You buy it. We get a little bit of money from that. It helps keep the lights on and the recording going. At the same time, you can become a subscriber and you get access to all kinds of wonderful exclusives. So, yeah, thank you so much for tuning in anyway, whether subscriber or not, buyer or not, we really appreciate you. You know what else we appreciated this year?
Wrestle Kingdom?
Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, good.
Oh, New Japan, we love you so much.
Ghetto, I want to send him a fruit basket or something. This guy, no one gets long-term booking the way Ghetto does.
Ghetto, let's be honest, Ghetto is the best booker.
In the business?
I would say the best booker in the last 20 years.
I was going to say last decade, but who has been
consistently better, who has built up what is at the end of the day it wasn't always even Japan's top promotion. There were long periods of time when it was
late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, man. It was the number two. It's the biggest promotion in Japan. And he's managed to make it. At this point, arguably, I'd say the number three promotion globally. Possibly number two. Yeah, which for a Japanese wrestling promotion is unheard of. That's just crazy talk. I don't know how he's pulled that off. But yeah, it's remarkable. And this was yet another one of those instances where it's their big annual event. It's an amazing card.
From Wrestle Kingdom, the last few years felt bigger than WWE's biggest show of the year, WrestleMania.
Well, that's because it's about the wrestling. I mean, I hate to point out the absolute obvious, but
even though they run about the same runtime now, 6-7 hours, but Wrestle Kingdom's actually gives you your money's worth.
Well, and also Wrestle Kingdom... Oh, yeah, Raw 25. Wrestle Kingdom, the big thing is that it starts the gimmicky stuff first.
And gets it out the way. They don't believe in this buffer match bullcrap.
They honestly believe that, you give people warm-up matches. Because what they've done, and it's Vince's whole rejection. Let's be honest, this comes down to Vince. You need an undercard. You bring people in with something that's just fun while they're getting it.
Some laughs and some high spots.
A lot of that is playing to the live audience, which, you listen to any interview with any of the WWE announcers, and, it's that mantra that they go through of, it's not for the thousands of people in the building, it's for the millions of people at home. Well,
why are the thousands of people spending absorbent amount of money?
$400.
Raw 25.
Raw 25.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that. I've been saving up for a good rant. It's been a while since we've done one of these. Oh, I've been waiting to rant.
Oh, this will be a good one. This is, but I mean, yeah, Wrestle Kingdom 12, yeah, an amazing stacked card.
And even certain wrestlers who I was not sold on sold me. I am now a Jay White mark.
Oh.
I am not saying he was ever, I ever thought he was bad. I've seen him at several live shows, at Ring of Honor show. The guy plays to the crowd well, but this like newfound aggression with him is just, I'm sold. This guy is the next big thing.
I mean,
2019, I think, is going to be his year to shine.
I think the two people who have the biggest opportunity to break out right now because of where they are and what they want to do, and I think that's the other important part, him and Flip Gordon. I think Flip has an amazing...
I was going to add a third to that, Hangman Page.
Oh, Hangman's already broken out.
Well,
for me, Hangman...
is. I still don't think the mainstream has...
Oh, no, the mainstream hasn't. And
almost all the Bullet Club has broken through to the mainstream, with the exception, I think, of Hangman Page.
Which is, well, and G.O.D.
Yeah.
You know, well, and that's the U.S.
As far as U.S. Bullet Club is concerned.
No, I think Page, I don't think people understand how fucking good he is.
He's so fundamentally sound.
He's, what, 24, 26?
Yes, he's reminds me of... when Jay Lethal, his first few years, where this guy has all the fundamental basics that he can do the high spots,
yeah,
but he's very judicious on when and where he does them.
And he's a great brawler. He's a great technical wrestler. He's I never want to say the word Chris Benoit, but you look at the list of people who were that good that young, almost
very short
no
list.
One. It, you know, very he's in that list. That list of like 20 people who were like everything straight off the mat and still astute to the game. You know, I see a lot of young wrestlers who come in and they go, you know what, I can do a shooting star press, I can do a Phoenix Splash, you know, I can do the smoothest transition to an armbar you've ever seen.
Can you get believable sympathy?
Yeah,
can
but they think, oh, I'm great. And Hangman Page is clearly like, you know what, I'm hanging with the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll, who are about as good as it gets in this industry, and I'm gonna learn. And like you said, that's just, you know, Jay Lethal went, I'm really good, I'm not Ric Flair, I need to learn how to do this stuff. I need to, you know, I need to hang out with the best. I need to work with the best.
And you prolong your career by not relying on the high spots as much.
Yeah, Adam Page is the future. But yeah, Wrestle Kingdom 12. We had the traditional New Japan Rumble, which is like those are glorious. You know, Masahito Kakehara actually winning. Like, oh, bless.
Most of the decisions were, you know, I saw that coming from a mile away. There were a few that not really scratched my head, but some that I really wasn't quite sold on.
Yeah.
Like the Goto Suzuki hair match.
You know what? I was okay with that. You know, but I mean,
I like how it played out. I wouldn't have gone with that decision, but how they played that decision out,
yeah,
that worked for me.
The Neverway Gauntlet match was yeah, yes. That whole thing was phenomenal. You know, I mean, farewell to War Machine as they go to WWE.
Oh.
It's hilarious. They sent them to NXT, and I'm like, are you honestly going to teach War Machine?
Yes.
At this point,
there's nothing. Basically, they're there to teach Heavy Machinery how to work.
I think so.
Or the AOP, who, if they don't get called up,
I mean, Ray Rowe is. I've seen him in singles, and I've watched, you know, watched him up close. He is an absolute pro. He is as good as they get. You know, he's unbelievable in the ring. He's made Warbeard Hansen into one of the guys to watch now, and I'm like, just what if you've got them? If you have them down in NXT for more than 6 months, you are insane. You send them up and you put them to just annihilate everyone. That's it. My suspicion is they only send them down there to, like, one, get Heavy Machinery better, mm-hmm. two, get a run with the belt, three, come up, maybe work on their mic skills a little bit and their presentation skills, because they're used to working with the Japanese cameras and Ring of Honor's cameras, but I think that's pretty much it.
Exactly. We have Kota Ibushi, man. Cody put him over like $1 million.
Oh my God. And setting up one of the best. The fact that, because I was like, Cody versus Cody. That's a really cool match. Again, the genius of Gedo, that when we get to New Beginnings and you have a pretty clear sign that what I said has been coming for ages, of either a split in the Bullet Club.
Transition in leadership, which is as traditional as apple pie.
Or, you know, who turns up to rescue Kenny Omega? Kota.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it was amazing because it comes straight after we've got. It's a really good Royal Rumble. And then the Golden Lovers kind of semi-reunite, and everybody's like, oh yeah, Royal Rumble, wasn't that? Oh yeah. I'm like, oh my God, Ghetto, you magnificent bastard.
Kenny could only have been the cool heel for so long before you had to turn him straight up babyface.
Yeah.
He was too over. And that match with him and Jericho, holy.
Oh my God.
Crap. 5-star, I won't challenge it. I won't challenge it.
No, I mean, I
know it was a weapons brawl, and I tend to not want to give those type of matches 5-star, but holy crap, they told a great story.
Yeah, and if, you know, two guys who've never been in the ring together before, you put them on a main event, you know, basically the co-main event, the first time there's been co-main events in New Japan, and it was like, you know, mainly because you couldn't have, Okada versus Naito. And that was the one thing I was like, I know this is a long-term booking decision, but Naito not going over surprised me a little bit.
It did. I didn't think Okada was still going to hold the belt. Not that he's not deserving. I thought it may be time. It may be time to give Naito the belt. And
let's think of an Arblaze. They're so... Honestly, they're turning so face at the moment that I'm wondering whether, you know, because Daryl, you know, the whole Daryl thing is just, you know, it's just glorious and changes them. And Naito is just incredibly charismatic, you know, and just as good a worker as anybody out there. Are we getting to the point where we're going to have an Okada cocky heel turn that he's like, I am unstoppable. Look at all my 5-star matches. And I think that's the only place left. You know, have him turn on Ghetto.
Yeah.
And go like, I don't need you.
It's like, what do you do with Chaos?
You don't need to worry about Chaos at the moment, because Chaos, honestly, I think because they're going to be, you know, they're clearly working with Ring of Honor on how do they handle what they're doing with the Bullet Club and making that a coherent plot line between the two promotions, which they're really, really smart at. That becomes a plot in its own right, more than ever. I mean, the fact that we are clearly heading toward, I mean, yeah, let's be honest, All In, the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes.
They planned a pay-per-view event where they're attempting to sell out a 10,000-seat arena for a Ring of Honor show, which there has not been, outside of World Wrestling Entertainment, there's not been a show of that magnitude since WCW was in business, and they went out of business 17 years ago.
Do you think they can do it?
I just wrote an article about it 2 weeks ago, I think. At thescrumpsports.com.
Hey! Plug! Plug!
Shameless plug. I think it could happen, but it's going to depend on, A, where you have it. Please be Chicago. I think it needs to be in a central location where East Coast people don't have to fly all the way out west, and West Coast people don't have to fly all the way to the East Coast. is going to need to be an essential location like that. That's also a big wrestling city. A Chicago could work. A Dallas maybe could work.
I think it's Dallas. I think it's the Cow Palace.
That could work.
I think it's the Cow Palace. That's my gut. I think Cody will want to do it at the Cow Palace. There's such a legacy there. I think it's the Cow Palace.
That could work.
I hope it's the Cow Palace because it'd be a short drive.
Yeah. It was going to require that and also an arena that's big enough and enticing enough and has enough legacy. And like you said, the Cow Palace. Two, we're going to need to see some dream matches. Like, I mean, we're going to need to get a cherry pick from all promotions.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a Brian Cage Ishii match. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, maybe, man.
Well, we know what the main event's going to be.
Yeah.
The main event is clearly Cody versus Kenny, which made it even more funny that when people were like, oh, okay. Yeah, Kenny's been kicked out of the Bullet Club. He's going to turn up at the Royal Rumble. And we're like, no, he's not, assholes.
He re-signed.
Well, he was, yeah, but I don't even know whether he re-signed.
I think he did.
I thought he was on a multi-year. I thought he was on one of the very few people in Japan on a multi-year.
I thought the majority of them are January to January.
Pretty much everybody is January to January, but I could be wrong, but I think it's so weird. Well, it means that everybody's working to the same season, and it meant that we had the situation we had last year at Wrestle Kingdom 11, where you know the next night Suzuki Gun turn up because they finished. Were they
the year before that where lost AJ and Gallows and Anderson?
Yeah, and everybody thought the world was coming to an end, and they went, "No, we've got talent for miles."
I guess, and the third thing, we're going to need a big name surprise. I know people want Daniel Bryan. His contract's apparently not up until end of September, and they're looking to do this September 1st, and I don't know if Cody's wanting to delay it a month just to get Daniel Bryan. If they could get CM Punk even just for some mic work, just to cut a promo and maybe give one person the GTS and call it a day. CM Punk or Daniel Bryan, there's your 10,000 right there.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone of bigger name is Ring of Honor is going to be able to get. And anything less than those two, I don't think is going to cut it.
Yeah. Well, and I my hope is we see Will Ospreay there. Will Ospreay, who's doing the AJ Styles trajectory. That he's going like, you know, he spent the early part of his career just doing nutso stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of going like, okay, I made my reputation. I know I can do this stuff. I need to evolve my style. And he's evolving his style already. Because Will Ospreay, I'm saying now the greatest potential for, you know, people over the next few years to really break through, Jay White, undoubtedly. Flip Gordon, who is the closest thing I've seen, I think, to a young AJ Styles in just the sheer joy of being out there.
Yes.
Will Ospreay, who just, you know, let's be honest, they built the entire Cruiserweight Classic on the belief that they could get Will Ospreay, and Will's like, no, I want to be in Japan. It's like,
not that we disliked the Cruiserweight Classic.
But it was clearly, everybody said it at the time, this is built to get Will Ospreay. And then Will's like, I'm like, no, me and...
Didn't we say that wasn't going to happen?
We called it. And he's like, no, I want...
Ospreay and to a lesser extent, Ricochet.
Kota. They wanted Kota as well, really and badly. And
there were a couple of people they want. Also, Zack Sabre Jr., I know, they was on their radar. And
he was like, I still want to work the industry.
Pretty much that's how TJP wound up walking away with the belt, because all the other three people that they were eyeing didn't want to sign long-term contracts.
And, where's Zack Sabre Jr. now? Tagging with Minoru Suzuki. He is going to be one of the best heels. Because, I mean, he's naturally actually pretty babyface. But, I mean, he's got a real possibility of being New Japan's top gaijin for the next 10 years.
Meters of Suzuki-gun will learn how to be a heel.
The genuine. I love that people finally managed to find the footage of him beating the piss out of a very young Asuka. And it was like, and she was like, yeah, she went in there, and I think that was one of the moments where people were like, she is as tough as anybody out there. Because, you know, you hear any stories about Minoru Suzuki, and it's like, he is genuinely the scariest person in the wrestling in the business. You know, every kind of goes, well, who would have won in a fight between Haku and Brock Lesnar? Mm-hmm. It's like, who would win in a fight between either of those two and Minoru Suzuki, who is notoriously the toughest hitter?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Just unbelievable guy. But
yeah. I guess since we were on that topic, Ring of Honor, no word on with the WGN stuff, if they're going to actually give them any sort of prime time.
I hope they do. I don't know whether they need... whether they should go, like, early... they need to be late prime time, honestly. I mean, I could see you putting... I see giving them the, like, 11 o'clock Eastern slot. Because otherwise you've got to retool so much of their approach. And you couldn't use a large... You know, you take away a lot of the freedom that the wrestlers want from working somewhere like Ring of Honor, and it's like,
I agree. It's just, if you put them on a super later slot, I don't know if it benefits them. Like, do you want more eyeballs on them? And right now, they're already coming on, what, Saturday nights at 11:30?
Yeah, but that's 12:30 Eastern.
Eastern, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, as long as they're earlier in the night, but I would say, like, yeah,
9 or 10 p.m.
9 or 10. I think that's fine. Yeah. But I think any much earlier, and you're not a lot of the stuff that's
WGN is better than what they have now.
Oh, I'm also saying, you know, another talent to look out for. About two on the Ring of Honor roster at the moment to really look out for: Jonathan Gresham, the Octopus, who is one of the best submission guys out there, and is really starting to come together.
And there's not a lot of submission guys on that roster right now, so that'll help them stand out.
A former Ring of Honor guy who I say will be back within a couple of years, ACH.
Agreed. Hell, I honestly think Cedric Alexander at this rate may wind up back there soon.
If he's lucky.
Jeez. But, yeah.
Although, wait, there's a thing. 205 Live, here's the thing that baffled me this week, is... you know, after certain people being removed, and let's talk about that very briefly.
How you doing?
Shittily. working the indies with no talent. Good luck. It's funny. Now everybody's going like, wow, James Ellsworth really was the better worker of those two. He, formerly known as Enzo Amore, increasingly now turning out that if the reports are true, that he wasn't fired because of the allegations of rape. He was fired because he didn't tell
them about
the WWE.
It because he allegedly knew about it, the potential charges before, about, what, a month? Did they say a month or so beforehand?
I think it was about October.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this has been, you know, sat on for a while. So not, his first instinct, you know, wasn't, Call Vince.
Not defending him, especially in a situation that involves sexual assault. I mean,
not defending him at all. You know, However,
the company was looking for a reason.
Yeah.
At this point, with all of the stories coming out about how few people got along with Roman Reigns kicked him off of a tour bus. They were looking for the first opportunity to get rid of him.
The thing that I am baffled by is that they bring in Rockstar Spud and they call him Drake Maverick, which is a terrible name. But I don't understand why, because it's Spud. And here's the thing.
And on top of that, didn't Impact pretty much grant people to free reign to use their names elsewhere?
Doesn't matter. They don't own the name.
True.
They may own Rockstar Spud. They don't own Spud.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching Spud when he was, you know, this lightweight jobber in Frontier Wrestling Alliance in the UK. And you could tell then he hadn't, you know, he was going somewhere. He had an incredible amount of talent. You know, I don't think anybody predicted that he would have had the career that he's had internationally.
Yeah.
But, you know, It's Spud. Like, your 205 Live audience knows who Spud is. Just fucking call him Spud.
Spud, Spud Maverick, Spud something. Getting rid of Spud, which is his gimmick, just is stupid.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can help that brand.
Oh, I think he can. He's good in the ring. B, he is one of the best and most underestimated mic workers out there.
Agreed.
He is so good, and he's so fast on his feet.
Yeah.
I think he's the best thing that could have happened to him.
Speaking of Impact, man, how much talent have they lost over the past 6 months?
Who's left?
Well, Austin Aries went back. I don't know why. I mean, I understand why he was frustrated. Being on 205 Live is it's career death,
honestly.
So Impact, it's sad to say Impact is a couple steps above 205 Live, but it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And you know, honestly,
they lost EC3. He was, for all intents and purposes, he was becoming the face of TNA. Like, with AJ Styles gone, I think for the current generation, he was the face of Impact.
And he's
great really on the mic.
He's great on the mic. He's solid in the ring. You know, I don't know how...
He'll give you good matches.
I mean, he is a perfect contemporary US champion. You know, he's exactly what they need.
I know they're trying to cut costs and bigger contracts. They were hoping the guys would not want to re-sign, and which helped. James Storm apparently had a ridiculous contract. Bobby Lashley had a ridiculous contract. I'm fine with that. Storm was mainly a tag team guy, so you can afford to lose him. Lashley,
I am still baffled by...
They didn't book Lashley like Lesnar. If they booked him like Lesnar, then fight to keep him. They didn't book him. They could afford to lose him. I don't think they could afford to lose EC3. That was a huge blow.
Even though, you know, Blaster has been, you know, such a core part of Impact booking for so long and was champion on multiple occasions, he's never felt like
Lesnar,
a big thing.
Yes.
But I think the difference, part of that is you know, his matches are solid, but you've never, I mean, name a memorable Bobby Lashley match. He is terrible on the mic.
Yeah, he's not good on the mic. He should have had a mouthpiece from the beginning. And his matches don't feel aggressive enough. For as big as he is, like, his spear looks so light. Like you can tell he's using as little force and momentum as possible. I just don't see. He could have been they should have allowed him to be a bit rougher in the ring.
I don't think that was them. I think, you know, to a certain degree, he phoned it in. I don't think he was. I think that was what he wanted to do. Because honestly, if he, you know, all the speculation at the time when he got let go from WWE forever and a year ago was he didn't want to really go out there and work as hard as some of the other people, and that was just like, well, you end up where you are, and that was it.
And the Impact roster now.
Yeah, it's sad. Whereas, you know what amazed me about the Royal Rumble this year?
It was good.
Well, one, it was actually good. It was one of the, and I will say this as, you know, everybody listens to this, hopefully, knows that I ring announce for Inspired Pro Wrestling in Austin. Next event, March 23rd, please come. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
Bad boy Marty Jannella making his Inspired Pro debut. We've got a few other surprises lined up that it's going to be painful. We just had our first ever cage match. Tell you, if you've never been inside a wrestling cage match, a wrestling cage, they are scary. When you get in there, you're like, this is not a good place to be. Like, even just as an announcer, I was like, this is a bad idea and I shouldn't be in here. And I got out there as fast as possible. So like, as a wrestler, when you're literally running face first at that thing, I was like, God, no thanks. But I will say this, and I know everybody at Inspire Pro knows this is my feeling. I hate ring announcing Royal Rumble matches.
Yeah.
They're, They're so unpredictable. You've got 30 people that you've got to try and keep on the...
Battle Royals get really messy really fast.
You know, all it takes is somebody doing a clothesline out of order and somebody realizing, like, oh, that guy was supposed to have gone out, or where's that person I'm supposed to do this with? Where have they gone? And inevitably also, like, somebody doesn't turn up.
You have to have near perfect booking.
It's impossible.
For that to not wind up being a mess.
This was...
one of the better booked Rumbles. Both were... there were issues with the men's and the women's Royal Rumble matches.
But we didn't have like a 20-minute...
lull?
We also didn't have anybody come in and completely kill everybody else. We didn't have an 11-person...
missed those spots, though.
But we, like, you know, when you got something like, you know, in previous years where Kane's eliminated 11 people or Roman's eliminated 10 people, and you're just like, well, you're clearly not going to win. It takes the mystique off it. But when you've got people who take, you know, you've got a bunch of people in there who've like done 3 or 4 eliminations, and you're like, okay, are you going to be the one? And that, it was a solid roster. It wasn't, you know, they didn't.
At times it got jobberific.
It could have been a lot. It's contemporary jobbers. Not, you know, like, suddenly Tatanka turns up.
Yeah.
Or Mini Doink.
These were my issues. One, don't call up the champions and have them look not as strong from the NXT champions. Yeah. And if you're going to have Andrade Cien Almas in the match, fine. Let La Sombra get a shine from the mainstream audience who probably have never seen his previous work. Did he have to go out like a complete dork via falling into an RKO?
Oh.
Did he have to?
Well, I mean, why go out to...
Is Orton going to go to NXT to challenge? Is that a feud that's going to continue?
No, it's not. Clearly not.
And I think instead of Adam Cole... an injured Adam Cole, they should have had Aleister Black.
Yeah.
And have him and Almas knock each other out.
Yeah.
And they both land at the same time, continue that feud on NXT television going forward.
And
that would have made more sense.
I mean, and then we have the Women's Royal Rumble match. Oh, by the way, we'll get to that in a moment. But yeah, the Women's Royal Rumble match, which I think had just the right enough amount of, hey, here's some veterans.
Well,
it was a little heavy, but not terrible.
It's because the women's roster is so thin on the main roster. They had to either call up from NXT or call back Divas of Yesteryear. And while you had amazing stuff like Molly Holly, I forgot the name of her finisher. Molly Go Round?
Yes.
And it looked like she never left. Her timing... she's amazing.
The most underrated women's wrestler. Although it's weird. Now I don't think she's underrated. I think at the time she was so buried and stuck in so many lousy gimmicks that people are like, eh. But now people are going like, you know what?
Bring her back.
That is a Hall of Fame career.
Bring her back onto the main roster. I mean, Mickie James is doing decent work. Like, it's not her fault that she's being booked and written like just another person. And Trish looked phenomenal. And one thing that always gets me when veterans come back, their actual ring work is solid, but little things like their selling, their sympathy may not be there yet, and it'll take a few matches for them to get it. Trish was so on point. Like, who was it that put a submission on her?
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it Natalya?
Yes.
Put the sharpshooter on her. There was no overselling. There was no underselling. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
Trish is perfect.
Trish has never been...
less than perfect. She's never been less than perfect.
She's just always consistently spot on.
Yes.
But, you know, right winner.
Yeah. I think everyone called both winners of the men's and women's. Although... the men's, it was a toss-up between Nakamura and Finn Balor. I heard a lot of Finn Balor
And they made Finn look really, really good in that match.
He had about as many.
I think he tied in number of eliminations. I think it was four.
When we did our predictions, I thought Balor wins, decides to challenge AJ to a friendly rivalry, brings the club with him over to SmackDown, and it goes from friendly to unfriendly very fast with the Balor Club heel turn.
I am also, here's something I'm just wondering as well. If we don't see a heel turn before then, I'm going on a limb and saying he will be in Elimination Chamber after all. I do not know whether Cena will be in the Elimination Chamber.
Maybe.
I am, because they're clearly setting up something else for Cena. He is not going to win Elimination Chamber, but he's also got to be out on the road very soon doing promotion for Blockers.
Yes.
His new R-rated comedy. So, yeah,
Do you think they're going to have the Cena-Taker match at Mania?
Maybe.
It's still up in the air. Like, you would have thought that maybe it would have been hinted at on Raw 25. Last word on the Rumble. It's really good Rumble. I wouldn't have placed that Raw men's tag match and on the card where it was because it died a death out there, especially with how it was booked. The crowd was completely dead for it. Women's match, really good. I would not have had Ember Moon come up to only look weaker than Asuka again.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do that to your NXT women's champ. And I would not have had Ronda Rousey, who showed up after Asuka, this little celebration that lasted all of 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Rousey should have showed up on Raw. I was not a fan of her showing up, pointing at the WrestleMania sign like, well, how many? Eight times? It was okay.
I think my big objection, my big problem with the women's match, Nikki Cross should have been in it. At this point, the fact that they are not...
Agreed.
I mean, they seem to be starting now with the Lacey Evans feud, but that Nikki Cross isn't being pushed to the moon as the most off-the-chain women's wrestler we have seen.
And she is one of the
few that can really hang with Asuka in just like an ass-kicking point of view. Because she's the perfect challenger for Asuka eventually. Because, it's like Asuka goes, I keep hitting you and you won't fall down because you won't fall down because you're insane. And that is perfect for how you end Asuka's reign eventually, which you have to do eventually.
Yeah.
You have to give her somebody that there is a reason why she won't lose. And it was what they should have done with John Moxley.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep calling because I want them to bring John Moxley back versus Brock.
Brock.
But he's just like, he won't lie down.
Brock, this Brock guy won't didn't be. Care to put in any effort in that feud or that
match.
That
may be the worst Brock match since...
since his return in 2012?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Brock Lesnar, when he just full-on potatoed Braun Strowman in that match, Braun hit him hard with his knee.
Braun hit
Brock
him hard.
Got up and punched him hard twice in the head so that Kane had to intervene. That was unprofessional. And I will excuse bad mistakes.
Receipts happen in wrestling, but you don't immediately hand the receipt and damn near derail a match for it.
Yeah. And it's not like, by the way, before we get to Raw 25, because we were finished with the Raw 25 round because it's so glorious. I'm sorry. Dear Sasha, stop doing that.
Sasha's going to kill herself.
Sasha is going to kill herself on screen.
Or she's going to want to seriously injuring someone else who are either trying to catch her or recover from one of her insane, crazy stunts. Like, Sasha, stop it. You're going to wind up in a fucking wheelchair.
If you didn't see it, she's going to end up like Paige. She's going to end up, 28 and out of the business. If you didn't see it, it's been gift a lot. Sasha trying to do a suicide dive onto Asuka, and whoever fucking wrote this spot should be fired. I don't care.
I don't know who's booking the women's matches lately.
I don't care who it was. Like, even if it was one of those two. Even if it was Asuka herself. Asuka needs to be... Yeah, that was...
The women's matches...
out, like, you know,
I don't know who the road agent is for the women's matches on Raw.
But somebody does a suicide dive, and you do a high spin kick into their head. You know, although as many people have pointed out, that probably slowed Sasha's descent down a little bit. This is a horrible spot. Never do that again.
I would never, ever, ever book a spot like that in a match, especially with someone as who probably has, well, I'm not going to say she has concussions. She may have concussions.
Oh, I think, well, she does now.
She did before. She damn sure does. Not making light of it, but good grief. Shall we talk about...
Talking about bad spots. You know what? I'm just going to...
Bad shows?
I'm just going to walk away for a second. Over to Gene. Gene. Raw 25.
This fucking show. I am so glad I don't still live in New York. Because I would have been tempted to buy a ticket.
$400.
Easily. No, those were the lower end for the Manhattan Center.
Yeah.
Those were the lower end tickets. I'm hearing some of them went for $1,000. The Manhattan Center. These geniuses decide to hold a simulcast. They're holding the show, the main show from the Barclays Center, and one for a smaller crowd at the Manhattan Center. Even though, yes, maybe they should have, the people should have known that these guys always play to the audience at home, not to the crowd in attendance. So they were going to give all the good stuff to the Barclays Center. They gave one televised match, or was it two?
Yeah, and they were both super short.
Super short.
Two.
Two matches. And one of them, they could have got away with so much more. The Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt. Personally, I wouldn't have booked the two of them to even confront each other in the ring until at least the Rumble or WrestleMania. I would have dragged this storyline out, had minions, new minions for Bray, maybe attack Jeff, since Jeff can't actually work in the ring yet. I would have set up Wyatt-Hardy feud. If you're going to have them match at Raw 25, start the match at the Manhattan Center. Have that shit spill out into the crowd. Have it spill out into the street. Have it go to the fucking subway and on a subway train to the Barclays Center, and then have the fight end there. It was so simple to do. So fucking simple. And that's not even the worst of it. That's not even the worst of it. If you're going to have legends come back, would the sensible thing not be... I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a little loud.
No. Sensible. Outside voice.
If you're going to have legends come back, would the sensible thing to do, would it not be to have them put the younger talent over, the people that are going to be there, the people that need to sell out arenas, the people that need to get ratings?
You think?
No. These dunce cap wearing motherfuckers decide to bring DX out. DX endorses Balor Club. If it just ended there, no harm, no foul. But no. Enter the Revival. Did I not give Revival best tag team of 2016?
You did!
Did I not say...
May I also point out that the Revival, and I think this was a prime factor, Jim Cornette's favorite tag team. There you go.
They decide to have a match between Gallows and Anderson and the Revival, which I would have been fine with. End of the match. They decide to...
All 42 seconds or whatever it was.
They decide they're going to feed the Revival. And Dash and Dawson are hard workers. They're amazing athletes. They did not deserve to be fed to eat every one of DX's, every one of the Click's finishers. I understand that that spot was meant for Enzo. So get another fucking geek. Don't waste the revival on a spot like that. And now the revival, I don't think they can recover. I think they have geek tattooed on them.
Well, and the worst thing about the booking of them was that they were always smart heels. Smart heels would not have come out when you have DX.
Two on 55 disadvantage. Come on, man.
You may as well have just done an entire reassemblage of the NWO.
Yes.
Including Red, Black, and Wolfpack.
And Black, Blue, and White. Jeff Jarrett, shit-tacular NWO.
Yeah.
Remember that?
May as well have got...
Get the LWO! All 88 members of them! Fucking... Oh, this fucking
the BWO.
Show. Of course. The one young talent that a veteran puts over, Elias, the guy that Vince has a hard-on for. I wonder why. Look at those... Look at that physique!
I still love that they put him in the mixed challenge with Bailey, and there's this great shot of them, and he just has this look of like, this is my future, and she has the, oh god, I used to be hot. I used to be the talent that everybody was glad to see.
I don't even want to start. That's a whole other rant, that mixed challenge. I mean, let's kill kayfabe even further by putting faces with heels, have Sami Zayn cheering that him and Becky Lynch are partners. Just throw character and kayfabe out.
Sami Zayn, like the best thing about it has been the Sami Becky promo they did after they got eliminated, where he blames cake and starts talking about bakers in Philadelphia, and Becky about halfway through, who by the way is getting her old indie haircut back. She's letting the red go because she's actually naturally blonde. And her old hair is coming back. I think she's realized that the kind of weird, overly dyed extensions, Raggedy Ann thing, just made her look like every single other female wrestler on the roster.
And well, do they have other redheads?
Well, no, but like that, like the super style. Extension. Like,
yeah, I think she should keep it red, but I'm fine with
light, a lighter red. Strawberry blonde is, yeah, I think, because it kind of got a bit weird for a while. Yeah, it was heading into neon territory.
Yeah.
But yeah, that promo is great. Nothing about Raw 25 was great. I was
Wait. The opening segment with Vince.
Oh.
The Vince heel turn mid promo was brilliant. Austin coming out, stunning Shane. Feigning friendship with Vince, stunning Vince, waiting for Shane to get back up. Stunning Shane. I think that was an audible. The second stunner was audible.
I do have to say, though, I it's the weird thing that they gave him the opening slot when they have so consistently buried Stone Cold in the authorized WWE history of the Attitude Era and of the reason that they beat WCW and pretend and like DX.
They try to act like DX was the
The Raw 25 teases. So they actually like he was in it for like a microsecond. Like it's
the reason they beat WCW was Stone Cold, The Rock, and Vince McMahon and Mick Foley.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
everything else the undercard of WWE from night. Look, this is.
I would say the final nail in the coffin. And
Russo going to WCW?
No, that was the first big hammer through it.
I don't think first big hammer. Starrcade 97.
But I think the big problem that they had finally was, and I know people don't want to talk about this, but it was one of the great feuds, and because he's now rewritten the history so much to make DX so important, it's overshadowed that one of the big feuds that really started getting the WWE over internationally was Trips versus The Rock. And that was a great feud.
It was.
Because you have this guy who's gone, I now own the company. I'm like, I'm the, you know, the guy who survived from DX because everybody else is either a drunk, can't work, or has taken their ball and gone home. I'm smarter than you, the whole Cerebral Assassin, and him versus The Rock, that entire run.
Oh, look, 1999 WWE from 99 till 2004 is probably my favorite era of WWE. The Attitude Era, it's hit or miss. I'm not as big a fan as everyone else is. Because they had a great main event, shit undercard. WCW, great, amazing undercard, shit main event. Yeah. But the Ruthless Aggression era, I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Raw 25 can suck a fuck. I'm the moment Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon retire, I'm throwing a fucking barbecue. I'm saying it right now. I'm throwing a party. All of our listeners, I will give details. There will be food. There will be drinks. When Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn retire from WWE, I will be the happiest person on earth.
I'll bring a Hawaiian pizza.
You would.
I would. And on that note, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. This has been a blast. We will be back on a more regular schedule now that we are out of the craziness of the beginning of the year. I am Richard Whitaker. You can find my work at theaustinchronicle.com on a weekly basis, and also elsewhere and otherly on oneofus.net.
And you can find me at smartcountry at oneofus.net and also at thescrumsports.com.
And on that note, ding ding.
Good night.